I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Dave and DeGenovic have inside sources.
Here's what we're going in depth right now about Boyd Matheson. President Biden signing an executive order to study a number of Supreme Court reforms. The biggest reform on the list, the one we care about, is expanding the number of seats on the Supreme Court, Dave.
Otherwise known as packing the court. Now, this commission's going to take about 6 months. It could also include the pitch for term limits on the Supreme Court, which obviously is currently a lifetime appointment. Former Democratic Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid wants to pull back on these reins.
I think we should be very, very careful in doing so. I have no problem with the commission, but I think that the commission is going to come back and disappoint a lot of people, because I think they're going to come back and say, we should just kind of leave it alone. I think it would be inappropriate at this time, after that long history we've had in the country, have term limits for judges. I think that we better be very, very careful in saying that we need to expand the Supreme Court. I think we better be very, very careful.
Boyd Matheson, Inside Sources. You hear him every day here, 1 to 3 p.m. in the afternoons. And I'm assuming they're going to want to pack the court because President Trump got, what, three Supreme Court justices nominated and put through the process and confirmed.
Yeah, that's right. And so it is definitely an attempt to try to shift the court to the left by adding additional members during the Biden administration. And I don't often agree with the former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, our neighbor from Nevada. But I think he's absolutely right on this. And it's really interesting. If you actually look at the history of court packing, the biggest push to do it was by Roosevelt. After FDR had won a sweeping fourth term, he tried to do the same thing. And because he didn't think that the court was going to uphold his New Deal legislation as constitutional. So he tried it. And interestingly, it was a Democrat who stopped it. It was actually Senator Henry Ashurst, who was the head of the Judiciary Committee. And he just said, this is a bad idea. They tried to rush it through. He is known for saying, no haste, no hurry, no waste, no worry. And when it comes to the Supreme Court, that is a motto that we all should follow.
Well, what was really surprising about that story, it was Joe Biden back in 1993. That's where I heard this story.
Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Corrupted by power, in my view, unveiled his court-packing plan. He wanted to increase the number of justices to 15, allowing himself to nominate those additional judges. Took an act of courage on the part of his own party institutionally to stand up against this power grab. The Senate as an institution stood against the executive overreaching.
Shocking to hear then-Senator Joe Biden talking about this, and now the commission. Can you, I don't know, help me connect those dots?
Yeah, it's who's in power.
Okay.
Yeah, is a big part of that. But the real important issue is that when you think about it from the institution standpoint, Joe Biden was right. Senator Joe Biden was right in terms of how that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so having a commission, fine. There are more blue ribbon commissions. We should have a blue ribbon for blue ribbon commissions in Washington these days. They'll do their work. And I actually think Harry Reid is right. I think the commission will come back and say, you know what, it's a really bad idea to allow this to happen. It is such a slippery slope when it comes to court packing that could impact a host of things. I mean, it's such a far-reaching things that come in front of the Supreme Court. And if we lose, my biggest worry is this, Deb, is that if we lose our trust in that institution, then we're really in trouble.
Well, and really, when I look at the Supreme Court and the appointments that happen, it is truly about timing.
Yeah.
You can't really predict when a Supreme Court justice might retire. You certainly can't predict death, which is what happened in the case of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And so really it was fortuitous timing in so many ways for President Trump, and he was able to get those appointments through during his presidency. But again, I want to go back to 93 when then Senator Joe Biden called the idea of packing the courts. And this got to be his words, not mine. Boneheaded.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate, the United States Congress, a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. And it put in question, for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Now, Boyd, if there's one thing I've learned over the years that we've been covering politics is, well, if you guys do this, then we're going to do that. Yeah. Well, what's the pendulum swing on the other side if the Democrats do ram this through?
Well, it would be just more court packing. It would be, okay, well, we've raised it to 15. We think we should raise it to 25. And it will just be that never-ending thing. I think one of the things that Debbie raised that's really interesting is that the timing is an interesting thing because it takes out all of the political calculations. Now, surely there are some Supreme Court justices who hang on a little longer,
sure,
in hopes, you know, that somebody will win an election and they will get someone kind of more of their bent or philosophy onto the court. But it takes some of that out. It's also interesting, too, that it also prevents other judges from really calculating their ascent to the Supreme Court because it's all timing. We remember back in the 70s, it was Orrin Hatch. But then that window kind of swung, and then you had Democrats in power, and the window opened and the window closed. And so it kind of prevents a lot of that calculated ladder climbing, so to speak, as it comes to the Supreme Court, which is good. All of this is we have to preserve the integrity of the court and the confidence of the American people in the court.
Boyd Matheson, Inside Sources, every day, 1 to 3 in the afternoon, right here on KSL News Radio. What you got today, Boyd?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this court packing, to be sure. We've also got Mayor Cafusi is going to join us. She issued some comments about their mask mandate down in Provo, and we'll also be taking on ranked choice voting as something we're going to think again about.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we know that everybody who listens to our show has an opinion about ranked choice voting, so I'm looking forward to that discussion. Boyd, we'll listen to you at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks so much for jumping in, Dave. I'm not sure that this is anything more than what Boyd said. It's just another blue ribbon commission, maybe a way to address some of the chatter about court packing we've been hearing over the past couple of years. But ultimately, 15 justices, that sounds like just way too many.
Well, I hope so. I hope it's just a blue ribbon commission, but I'm not so optimistic. I think there was so much anger over the last 4 years, over the Trump years, from Democrats, that they're looking for their pound of flesh right now. Mm. And if this is the way they can get it, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they take it.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
We've got a developing story out of Minnesota we've been following pretty closely. Let's dip into a press conference. There was a man who was shot somehow involved in a vehicle crash in Minnesota, shot by police. The chief of police just releasing, I think I caught this correctly, that the officer may have intended to pull his taser and instead pulled his handgun. Let's listen into this news conference for just a moment.
The city direction about accountability for the police department and transparency for the police department. We've been providing reports to the city.
Can you talk to us about the
city council.
This is the city manager.
Yes, we're providing
of
reports
Center,
to the city council
Minnesota.
About officer discipline about information on stops of black and brown people or people of color in the city of Brooklyn Center. We're developing some task forces to assess if any of our policies or if any of our practices lead to disproportionate inequitable results. And our objective for doing that analysis is to eliminate any inequity that occurs as a result of our practices and our policies. And that has been communicated to the chief and to the police officers of the city of Brooklyn Center.
We understand that there's been some protests that have been happening in that area, as well as some looting after this information developed about this, I think it was a traffic stop or vehicle crash in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, where the chief of police has just released information saying that the officer intended to draw his taser and perhaps accidentally drew his handgun instead. We're going to continue to follow this story, Dave.
Now, Debbie, I was curious, and maybe you can shed some light on this, but I was trying to think, when it comes to a police officer and the way they wear their gear, where do they typically wear the taser? It's not on the same side as their sidearm. I believe they have to wear it on the opposite side
That's a great question,
of the officer's duty weapon.
And I can't recall offhand where I've seen it being worn I think you're correct. It is the opposite side. But we don't know what happened in this circumstance yet. They are just holding the press conference right now. We will continue to follow that as the story unfolds in Minnesota, Dave.
Yeah, I just Googled it and
confirmed
I found
it
on the ACLU's website that there are taser guidelines. And if an officer carries a taser as part of their everyday equipment, then yes, the taser has to be on the opposite side of the officer's duty weapon.
A story we're going to continue to follow throughout the day right here on KSL News Radio. We're going to return to our discussion right now about President Joe Biden. He just commissioned a study into court packing. That means expanding the size of the Supreme Court from its current size, which is nine justices.
And it's kind of a terrible idea. Not because
you were slow to react.
I'm trying to give it a little breathing space, you know, a little air. But really, nine is not a magic number either, right? I mean, just because it's been nine for a long time doesn't necessarily mean that's the perfect number. This is why I don't like it, though, because it's such a blatant response to President Trump's last 4 years, where he was able to bring in three Supreme Court justices. And you can see, well, if you do this, then we'll do that. And this court packing is the then we'll do that.
Former federal judge Paul Cassell on the line with us live. Do you agree with Dave's take that this sounds like a terrible idea, Judge?
Well, I think what the commission is looking at includes these ideas like court packing and maybe some other ideas as well. I think the idea of saying, look, we don't like the outcome of some of these 5-4 decisions, so let's stick in 2, 4, 6, 12, you know, pick your random number, extra justices on there just to try to change the outcome. I think that is a terrible idea. I do think there are a couple of interesting ideas that have been floated for improving the performance of the Supreme Court that are worth consideration. But I don't think the court packing idea is a good one.
What were some of the ideas that intrigued you? Because I think one of them that was floated out there was some sort of term limit.
Yeah, that's, I think, the idea that's gotten a lot of attention, because that isn't really a political maneuver to try to change the court one way or the other. That's a more of a good government thing. Obviously, right now, a Supreme Court justice gets appointed and they're on there for life. And I think we've seen at least a few examples of people staying on, perhaps when they were not at their maximum effectiveness, shall we say. And so the idea of the rotation is it would probably require a constitutional amendment. But you'd say, look, every president during a 4-year term can pick two Supreme Court justices, and they're on for, I forget how the math works out, 18 years or something like that. And that way you have some kind of continuity, but you also have a little bit of change. If President Trump comes in and he gets two appointments, and then President Biden comes in after that, he gets two appointments in a term. And you you don't have this sort of maneuvering that I think has sometimes gone on, justices hanging on for a different president or dying unexpectedly and people being disappointed with a different political party's president making the selection.
So if they limited the number of nominations and also the number of years a Supreme Court justice could serve, that really takes the timing out of the equation, which is what we were talking about just moments ago with Boyd Matheson, is that so often this is truly about timing, when justices retire, when justices pass away, and, depending on which party is in the White House.
That's right, or which party controls the Senate. I was a law clerk for then-Judge Scalia, and everybody is aware that he passed away during the last year of the Obama presidency, but famously the Republican-controlled Senate refused to consider another nomination. So, and people... I suppose if you were a Democrat, you weren't happy with that. If you were Republican, you were maybe pleased with that. But if you had a more, orderly structure, then I think it takes some of the gamesmanship out of and some of the maneuvering out of it.
I thought it was interesting. I want to play this little piece of audio, from Senator Joe Biden. Back in 1993, he had talked about FDR and what it was like when he tried to pack the court in 1937.
But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make, and it put in question for an entire decade the independence of the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Does the change of heart surprise you?
I think it does, and I think that's why court packing has got such a bad name. I mean, I guess, are you in favor of court packing when your political party has control of the presidency and the Congress? But wait a minute, were you in favor of it when the other party had it? If there isn't consistency, then that tells you it's just a political maneuver, and we obviously don't want to have political maneuvering with something as important as the composition of our Supreme Court. And I do think then Senator Biden made an excellent point. When you start talking about court packing, even considering the idea, then you're sort of reducing the legitimacy of the Supreme Court by saying, well, it's just a political game. Let's see if we can get some Republican appointees or Democrat appointees in there one way or the other. And we would really hope, I think, to aspire to blind justice, where the appointment by the president isn't the decisive way of looking at what the Supreme Court is doing and what the justices are ruling.
When you were a federal judge, did you feel any political pressure?
No, I mean, I think that's one of the beauties of our system, at least for the federal judiciary. I was appointed by President George W. Bush, and he obviously thought highly of me, or heard from people here in Utah that I would be a good selection. And once I was on the bench, though, I was my own person and made my own decisions, and I knew that nobody could mess with me, because I had lifetime tenure. And so I think that's one of the great things. We hope that justices appointed by both Republican and Democrat presidents would say, look, once I'm on the bench, I have an obligation to follow the law, an obligation to do justice under the law. And so that's the goal we aspire to, and I think our system is set up pretty well to deliver that.
Former federal judge Paul Cassell, as always, we appreciate you weighing in on these important topics. We're talking about court packing. Thanks so much for jumping on the line with us and walking us through that. And Dave, I'll be curious to see what this commission comes back with. If it's 15, oh, I just don't lie awake at night that concerned about the Supreme Court, actually. I don't lie awake. It does not take up a lot of my brain power during the day about how they're going to decide. I think a lot of Americans have a tremendous amount of trust in our justices that sit on the Supreme Court.
Well, and I would agree with you. And I think the reason that's been the case is because it hasn't been overtly politicized. It doesn't feel like the politicians back in Washington are influencing or overly influencing the Supreme Court. But I tell you this, you start packing the courts, and then whoever's in power just gets to add their number of justices, then yeah, it's going to be a nightmare.
I'm Dave Cawley. investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.